Welcome. This is Steve with Alumni, where we explore, listen, learn, and enlighten. This is our 10th episode, and it follows one last week. It's a little bit unconventional format. It was a slideshow of photos and a conversation with a photographer. We talked about the challenges of street photography in the slums during the COVID-19. Specifically in the slums of Nairobi, where students were supported by Friends of Gone Road live and have gone back to when they're now not in a school setting. This week is episode 10, and my conversation is with Joy Obiyo. She is the senior case manager of the post-secondary department at Gone Road Children's Foundation in Nairobi, Kenya. She and I got to know each other a little bit a few years ago from a past visit when I was there doing a lot of video and photography work for the program where we focused on post-secondary students and some students who were alumni in the filming of the I'm Working, It's Working video. If you're interested, I'll put a link to that video from that past visit, and then you can take a look at that. Although it's a little dated by now, it's still relevant. Joy also runs the Gone Road Children's Foundation Life Skills Program, where they prepare students for their next steps in their career, whether it is looking for a job or seeking application to post-secondary education. There were a lot of recordings of those presentations that I think makes for some really good material in some following episodes. So Joy is going to be talking about the post-secondary students, and these are students who are either transitioning into or are in post-secondary educational environments. All these students have returned home to their home residential setting and are now living amongst their families and taking on different roles as well as attending school through online and other means of education. So without further ado, here is Joy. Well, today I'm with Joy Obiyo, and Joy is the caseworker or the head of caseworkers for post-secondary schools. Is that right, Joy?
Yes, Steve. I am the head of post-secondary department, whereby we cater for 124 students.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what the headcount was. So 124 students, and these are post-secondary students. So these are students who are in schools, different kinds of schools, right? Like they might be in technical schools or college. Can you describe what kind of settings they normally would be in?
Okay, so these kind of students are usually in higher institutions of learning from university level, college level, and technical colleges.
So I'm guessing that those places might be shut down at the moment.
Very true. Since March, when all schools were shut down by the government, the post-secondary level of education was also affected, whereby students had to be sent home. So students had to be sent home immediately after the government released the school closure amidst the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay. So where are most of those students now? Do they go back with their families, or are they living on their own, or how does that work? Because they were in, I mean, they probably were in a mix of dormitories and at home when they were in school. But, like, where are they now?
Okay, so actually all of our students went back home to their families because we could not afford to keep them in school. Even the hostels had to be shut down. Everything had to be closed, and they had to reconnect back with their families.
So they're back at home. How are you connecting with them?
All right. So we, as post-secondary caseworkers, we usually have a call with them just to get to know how they're faring on with their lives, what they're doing about school, because in as much as the schools were shut down, we have students who can access their portals and continue with their online studies. So we always call them every other week to get to know how they're faring on with their studies and life.
So the school is actually continuing online, you're saying, is that right?
Yes, students are able to access their portals whereby content is sent by their lecturers and they're able to do some work, although not for all. At least, let's say 70% have been able to continue with their online studies.
Okay, so 70% are continuing with online and 30% are not continuing. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about each of those just a little bit separately. So the ones who are not continuing, are they just basically kind of in a holding pattern right now, or what's their situation?
Oh, so the good thing is that they're not just sitting idle. They were given a lot of workload from school before they closed, and even the lecturers continue sending them assignments whereby and various projects which they keep on working on them.
Oh, okay, so they may not be online, but they still are enrolled.
Oh, yes, sure.
Okay, awesome. And then the ones who are online, how does that work? What does online mean in your setting?
So for the online studies, we have students whom we've provided with laptops, whereby they can easily access their online materials and go on with the e-learning. And there are also students who, like the school sends assignments or they have to come to the office. So we usually schedule them because we have a computer lab resource which has been very helpful to them, where they come and conduct their studies as normal.
Wow. So the computer lab is still functioning?
Yes, the computer lab is functioning, but on appointment basis. We have to schedule you for you to come and do your studies there.
So how's Gong Road kind of functioning from that social distancing at the computer lab?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good question. So as an organization, we've also tried to observe the Ministry of Health guidelines, whereby if a student come, they ought to have masks. They ought to sanitize upon entry. We also sanitize our laptops and the computer desktops. They also wash their hands. They keep a social distance. We cannot have a mass at the same time in the same room. So we find that maybe we schedule like around 5 each day so that we avoid social distancing.
Got it. Okay. So I can imagine they appreciate having that resource.
Mm-hmm, yeah, right.
So is it hard to get scheduled, or is it kind of flowing right now, or is there a backlog?
No, it's actually flowing because what the student needs to do is to get in touch with us whenever they need to, go or make appointment to visit the computer lab. So it's just a matter of a call, and then we are able to schedule them on the appointment schedule. And the IT people definitely can see them. It's like it's a document that we all share for the appointment schedule. So the IT guys are well prepared on the number of students who are going to visit that day.
Okay. So your school year, where would they be in their school year? You know, here in the United States, we're kind of at a point where basically a lot of people are graduating in May and June, right. whether it's whatever school you're in. So where are you in your cycle of your school year?
For the post-secondary level, I would say a majority of them were supposed to be doing the exam come June. We had not yet had any graduations yet, but most of them were either in the verge of doing the exams or just continuing with the normal studies.
So the exams, are they still on schedule with normal course of business?
Not really. We have the Kenya National exams, which was rescheduled for most of our students. They sent us notice until further notice. I think until we get back to normal and the government is able to strategize how especially students can go back to school, because it has been a very huge debate here in the country.
So there's still some things that are in flux there with how things are going to roll out scheduling wise and everything. Is that correct?
Yes. The government has set a task force, a response committee that is trying to strategize how students are going to go back to school, because you find that in public schools, there is a lot of congestion and kids are quite many, so they don't know how they're going to control, how they're going to control the disease, and especially from the primary level, the secondary level, and the post-high school level. So it's a big debate that is going on, and And actually, many stakeholders have been invited to, give their thoughts. Parents Association, Kenya National Parents Association. We have the Teachers Association who've been invited to give their thoughts on how probably we can reopen schools back in June if all goes well, if we're able to contain the disease.
Yeah, I was reading in one of the local newspapers that in Nairobi that there's kind of the debate about kind of the reopening and kind of how that's going. I mean, it sounds similar. We have the same thing going here, and I'm sure a lot of other places around the world. So, but I'm really curious about how are you, what are you hearing back from the students in terms of how it's been going back home? What are the conditions like? Can you explain or describe, you know, what you're hearing back from some of the students?
So as we engage with the students, actually there's a term that they use that is currently used all over, the new normal. But for them, they are calling it the new abnormal because, I mean, they want their lives back. It's very lonely back at home. I mean, they have to keep on doing the same routine. You cannot visit your friends. You cannot go anywhere. So it's same old. If they're not studying, then they're doing house chores and helping their families or taking care of their siblings or homeschooling their younger ones. So, I mean, it's quite boring, I think, for everyone, for all of them who have, they're really looking forward to when this COVID thing will end and they'll be able to go back to their normal lives.
And you have a lot of different challenges with your social distancing too, don't you? I mean, people are in much more dense locations, is that right?
Exactly. Where we have the informal settlement areas, I mean, the social distancing aspect has not been put in place because it's you cannot control it. There's so many people. It's densely populated and I was watching news the other day and it's unfortunate because they were even talking about not having adequate water for people even just to wash their hands and trying to, you know, keep up with the guidelines. So it's a sad state. And I think the sooner we get over this storm, the better, so that people can go back to their lives.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I remember from being there, you'd see on Saturdays a lot of people would queue up to get the water. How is that even working? Are they still queuing up, but they're just further apart? Or does that really not matter right now?
Yes, they're still queuing up, and sometimes you find some places whereby the water is not even getting to them. So it becomes a very real challenge, even as much as someone wants to adhere to the Ministry of Health guidelines of washing your hands regularly, it becomes a very difficult affair.
Wow. So how about the student body, 124, I think you said, are any of those students or their families, have they been infected? I know they've all been affected. Any of them been infected by the COVID-19, or are they all pretty healthy right now?
So far, we are grateful because we have not recorded any COVID-19 case, even in our program and even in the post-secondary. So all is well for now, I'll say. And we hope as things progress, we don't hope to have any case for the COVID because it is really sad. It can be a sad affair our students coming from a very vulnerable background where even health access is a challenge to them. So we really want to get to that point, and we are ensuring that everybody has adhered to COVID-19 guidelines whereby they protect themselves just by sanitizing, washing their hands, and keeping a social distance.
Well, it's good to hear that things are still working on that front and everyone's safe. That's really good news. Have you also been involved with some of the Food from Friends program in terms of students and or families coming in to pick up some of the support that's been provided through that program?
Yes, true. I've been involved in that, whereby we do a lot of scheduling every week, three times a week. And like last week, we had issued at least 87 packs for families, which this food is really, really helping them, because a lot of parents call me and just to send in their gratitude, because I mean, their times are tough right now, and most of them are not working, which makes it even difficult just to afford a meal. But with the support from Friends of Bong Road, I mean, our students continue even learning, because you cannot learn on an empty stomach. I mean, in as much we are being told work from home, learn from home, I mean, without food, nothing can go on. So we are really grateful for this initiative, and it is really helping our students sustain themselves.
That's great. Are any of the, I know that in the case of younger students, the parents have been coming in. Are you seeing any of the post-secondary students as themselves coming in for their families, or is it still limited to the parents of those students coming in to do the pickup?
Actually, for the post-secondary, now that they're young adults, most of them come for food for themselves, and like the younger ones in primary level and secondary level. So you see a lot of them turning in to come and pick up the food for their families.
So I remember being there in February, and the Life Skills program had, it was, I think, the kind of the conclusion. They were giving their essays from that program. Is the Life Skills program happening right now, or is that something that happens later on in the semester? And if they're doing things now, how is that working?
Okay, so the Life Skills program was supposed to take place in April for the high school students, but lucky enough for the post-secondary students, we already had sessions with our students who are actually currently waiting to join universities and colleges in September. So they had finished with, they were all done with their sessions, and we are glad because it will prepare them for their scholarship interviews, which are slated actually tomorrow, whereby basically, I mean, in terms of their personality, their self-awareness, they really know who they are and what they want to do in future.
Wow, that's wonderful. So you're saying that there's interviews that are going on tomorrow for admissions to post-secondary?
Very right. We have a scholarship committee that evaluates each student plan. For example, this is a class from high school class from 2019 who are going to present their post-secondary plan to the scholarship committee. So if all goes well, if the school reopen, maybe probably in June, July, we'll start the admission process, and we'll be able to enroll them come September.
Wow, that's wonderful. And so is that being done through, like, here we are talking on Zoom? I mean, how is that even conducted?
Oh, yeah, sure. So this time around, because of the situation, we had to take a different approach. Yes, we are going to have our interviews, virtually, so where students will come in and the interviewers will be ready, set on Zoom to interview them.
That's pretty fantastic. So we heard a little. We had a little photo essay last week by Leo, who's kind of serving as our photographer, and he was out taking pictures of kind of the neighborhood, and he was kind of sharing some thoughts in our last podcast episode, and he talked about, you know, some of the sense of insecurity on the street. Are you hearing any kind of reports of students in terms of how it is in the community, and is it affecting their ability to do their studies, or have you heard any kind of feedback in terms of security levels at home?
Yes, I've read actually an article whereby they were talking a lot about insecurity, and they need to get actually young people back in school, because a lot of, especially in the informal settlement, a lot of crime rates are coming high, and it's becoming worrisome to the public, and because you find most of the students are just idle. They don't have anything to do. There are no jobs to be done. I mean, earning a living has become a problem. So what do? They go and maybe involve themselves in very crime scenes, and it's just not good. So yes, there have been cases of insecurity a lot reported currently.
Okay. Well, I hope all the students that you have in the program are safe, and I hope that they remain well. Sounds like things are going pretty well to this point.
Would you say? Yes, sure. Yes, the students are okay. We are glad. Okay. At least they have something to do. They're keeping themselves busy through their studies. And that's quite shows that, I mean, all is well.
Very good. And just maybe a final question. How about the office? Are people still coming into the office on a regular basis, or do you have different kind of, is that kind of happening in a different way? Because I remember from being there in February, like all the caseworkers were basically in a room, and you're kind of tightly packed. And so is there a different feel, or what's different there these days?
It's so different because we miss the interaction, the one-on-one interaction with the kids. We miss having kids are all over the place and, you know, us attending and giving them our services. So we went down on a skeleton staff whereby staff are scheduled on a different days. We all don't gather the same time. So everybody has a rota on when to report to the office at least once a week or so. Yeah, okay. But it's really not usual because even if you come to the office, you miss the kids around, you miss in the interaction, and you know, we really miss our lives.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I feel like I've had a video conference in the past when before this was happening, or even doing recording while visiting, and it was really hard to get a quiet room, right? Because there's just so much hustle and bustle. And now I'm doing this interview with you, and I've done others in the past, and it's been pretty quiet and easy. So, yeah. So, okay. Well, is there anything else that you would want to share about how things are going there, and you know that you might have to just describe the situation? Or
I think right now our focus is on hoping that the government will be able to reopen the economy and things will go back to normal. Our kids will be able to go back to school. But other than that, we want safety for every one of us. We don't want an incident like I was reading about France the other day. They opened the economy, they sent their students in school, and in like a week, they had 70 students had been infected by the disease. So we also trying to, just borrow best practices from countries all over so that at least by the end of the day, we make a very concrete decision whereby all our students and everyone will be safe at work or at school or wherever they'll be going to work.
Awesome. Yeah. That, I know. We're all looking at, I think, keeping our ears open, seeing how things are working one place or another. And it's a pretty interesting thing because we're all experiencing this, but in such different ways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for that update. And I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time. And I hope you stay well.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve, for your time. We really appreciate as Ngong Road Fraternity, and we say Asante Sana for all you guys do for us. Thank you.
Asante Sana. Sawa sawa.
Well, thanks, Joy. And thank you for listening to this past episode of Illuminae. I hope you got as much out of it as I did. And we look forward to future conversations with some people who are living the COVID-19 in Nairobi, as well as any other ideas if you have or relevant topics. If you have any comments, we really appreciate it. Otherwise, we'll see you next time. Thanks so much. Achako wot madhi kawura Gimaneno nalama biro pindi rumo.